May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1043, 1043. Deal gently with thy servant, Lord, and if the rod should needful be, thy seasonable aid afford. My soul in trouble flies to thee. Hymn 1043.
Thank you.
us read together from the Holy Word of God in the prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, and prayed unto the Lord, and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee, saith the, from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees. Backward, so the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckon till morning that as a lion so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, Let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said,
What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God, we do desire to bow before thy great majesty, to call upon thy great and holy name. We do desire, O Lord, to be taken into the realms of the Spirit, and that we may be favoured like thy servant John, who was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. May we be in the Spirit this night, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon us. Oh, we do pray, most gracious Lord, for the outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. Without thy heavenly power, O Lord, no sweets the gospel can afford, no drops of heavenly love will fall. Oh, we do pray for the wonderful and sacred power of the Holy Ghost. And the apostle could witness when he was in Thessalonica, our gospel came unto you not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance. We pray that it may be so with us here at this evening hour. We pray, most gracious Lord, that the strongholds of Satan may be pulled down and the kingdom of the Lord Jesus set up in the hearts of sinners. We pray that the blind may receive their sight and the deaf may hear and the lame may walk and the dumb may speak. Lord Jesus, thou didst these things when thou wast here upon earth, and thy wonderful power was seen, thy glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We pray that we may behold thy glory this night, and that the word of the Lord may have free course, that those in bondage may be brought into liberty and those in darkness may be brought into light. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. O Lord, we do beseech thee. And may this be the night when some poor, needy, wretched sinner may be delivered from sin and Satan's power and be brought into the glorious liberty of the people of God. Oh, we do pray for thy divine leading. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Gracious God, may we know that divine leading, that heavenly power, that sacred unction resting upon the word this evening hour, that thy word may be a living word, a powerful word. Oh Lord, we pray for any that may be resting in the letter of thy truth, not knowing its power in their hearts, but resting on the bare letter, a head knowledge, an intellectual understanding of thy truth. Oh Lord, do open their eyes and their hearts to see and to realize that it is insufficient. It is a false hiding place, hiding behind the letter of God's truth. May thy word read us as we read thy word. We do pray that we may be favoured at this evening hour to know those sacred drawings of a heavenly Father, drawing us unto his best beloved and all-glorious Son. For none come except the Father draw. May we have the witness of the Spirit with our spirit that we are indeed the children of God. May we have the witness of that word a living witness in our hearts. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Oh, we do pray that we might know by sweet experience these precious truths. We do humbly beseech thee. We pray that the Lord Jesus Christ may come and stand in our midst, that we may truly worship him. We pray that we may touch the hem of his garment. Maybe, O Lord, there is one and another here tonight, and that has been their soul's exercise for a long season, that I might touch the hem of his garment. Oh, that it may be so, even tonight, that thy presence, Lord Jesus, may bring peace into our hearts, that we may be favoured to see the wonderful glory of the incarnation of the Son of God, the eternal Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, the wonderful glory of that holy life, that sinless life, that perfect life. Oh, we often think of that glorious word, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Oh Lord, we see there the man Christ Jesus, our glorious Redeemer, and we see in him the law fulfilled and honoured and magnified, everlasting righteousness brought in. We do desire, as we come into thy courts, to render thanksgiving, praise unto thee, O God, for the fullness of that salvation that is in Christ Jesus. We thank thee for that beautiful word, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Gracious God, may we be covered, clothed upon with that everlasting robe of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, our only hope of acceptance with thee, to cover our shame and our nakedness. We do thank thee for the sacred, precious sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins, that sacrifice that was offered on Calvary unto thee. We thank thee for that precious blood that was shed. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We thank thee for those lovely words, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We thank thee that he died for our sins. Our sins were laid upon him. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Oh, we do thank thee for the sacred glories of our suffering Saviour. We thank thee that he loved not his life unto death, but he lay his life down and he took it again. And we thank thee for a risen Saviour. Oh, tonight, Lord, may we see the empty tomb. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. He is not here, he is risen. Oh, to see that risen Saviour, and to hear his voice, and to see his countenance, that dear Saviour that is ascended into glory, that sitteth at thy right hand. For such an high priest have we, who is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. What a sacred glory there is in that risen and exalted Saviour. We have this great high priest. 'Tis he, instead of me, is seen when I approach to God. Lord, this is all our hope, and this is all our desire. It's in the glorious person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come to confess our sins and our sinfulness, our wretchedness. So often, Lord, we have to cry out with the dear apostle, O wretched man that I am, That which I would, I do not. That which I would not, I do. I find a law within my members that when I would do good, then evil is present with me. And Lord, we prove it to be so. We prove, as thy word declares, the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. For the one is the contrary to the other. And the Lord, and thy word declares, behold the Shulamite, in whom there is, as it were, a company of two armies. And Lord, so we prove it to be. And we pray that tonight, as we gather round thy word, we may know a sweet deliverance from that conflict and from the power and dominion of sin. Let sin have no dominion, Lord, but keep my conscience clear. Oh, we pray to be more spiritually minded, our heart and our affection set upon things above, not on things of the earth. We pray that as we gather together in the sanctuary, we may be enabled to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord Jesus, thou art our all and our in all. Thou art the centre, the sum and the substance of all our hopes and all our desires. This is my beloved. This is my friend. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, Lord, our hope is in thee. We pray for this church and this congregation. Our brethren, the deacons, help them. Bless them, support them, sustain them, strengthen them. Help them to cast all their cares upon thee and to watch unto prayer. We pray for each one of our brethren and sisters in church fellowship, that they may know that spiritual love, union and communion. By this shall they know that ye are my disciples, because ye have love one to another. Lord, increase our faith, increase our love. Help us to bear one another's burdens, thereby fulfilling the law of Christ. Grant us the mind of Christ, the spirit of Christ. We do humbly beseech thee. Show us thy ways. Teach us thy paths. Help us to follow thee, Lord Jesus, casting all our care upon thee. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless the little ones and the children that are brought into the sanctuary. We often feel greatly encouraged, O Lord, with those beautiful words, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And thou hast promised in thy word, instead of thy fathers, shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. And, O Lord, we do pray for the young friends. O, do graciously bless them. Bring them to living, vital, saving faith in Jesus Christ. And bring them to follow thee in their day and in their generation. We pray, O Lord, for the prodigals that have wandered away, that thou wouldst stretch out thy almighty arm and cause them to return. Lord, thou alone art able to do these things. We pray that the glory, light and power of the gospel may shine into this village of Swavesey and the surrounding villages and hamlets. Precious, precious souls may be gathered in, the strongholds of Satan pulled down, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus set up in the hearts of sinners. O Lord of hosts, O God of Israel, O thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. Shine forth, Lord. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we turn back from thee. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. We pray, Lord, for those of us in the evening time of life journey, prepare us for that great change that must come. And we pray for all in the midst of the journey of life. Pray for parents that thou would give them grace and wisdom and help to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst remember thy Zion and thy people, that thou wouldst return to Jerusalem with mercies. Remember all thy servants as they labour in word and doctrine upon the walls of Zion. Set them free, set them at liberty. Grant that they may dip their foot in oil and be made acceptable unto the brethren. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou, the great Lord of the harvest, will send true labourers into the harvest. Lord, we thank thee for those that have been sent for. And we pray that thou wouldst yet remember thy Zion, that thou wouldst return to Jerusalem with mercies, that thou wouldst grant mighty signs and wonders to follow the preaching of the word. O Lord of hosts, O God of Israel, O thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth, we do humbly beseech thee. Thou hast promised that I will bring thy sons from far, and thy daughters from the ends of the earth, and they shall come from the north and from the south, and from the east and from the west. O Lord, do hear us. We humbly beseech thee. Remember those that have commenced pastorates. Go before them and bless them. And those, O Lord, that are serving with a view to a pastorate, to be gracious unto them. Bring them together in the spirit of love and union. Do grant this people a pastor, one of thy servants that shall come in and out among them and feed them with knowledge and with understanding. Gracious God, do hear us, we humbly beseech thee. We pray, O Lord God, that thou would remember thy church throughout this land, wherever thy people gather and thy servants preach. May thy word go forth, have free course, precious souls gathered unto thee. Lord, remember those that go forth from among us. We think of the Mombasa mission and thy servant there, and pray that thou wouldst bless him. And with all sufficient grace and his dear one, we do humbly beseech thee and grant good success unto their labours. We think of Ian Sadler and that great work that he does in so many different countries in the distribution and exposition of the word of God. Help and support and sustain and strengthen him. And remember the Savannah Education Trust and that great work that they are doing in Ghana. May it redound to the great honour, glory and praise of thy holy name. O Lord, we do beseech of thee. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou in thy precious mercy wouldst be with us as we turn to thy holy word, and that thou wouldst come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. May the power that brings salvation be exerted in the word. May the word be opened and our hearts open. May we be like Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. And may that be so here, Lord, tonight. We thank thee, O Lord, that thy mercies to us are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. Do graciously hear prayer for all in trouble, trial, perplexity, sorrow, sadness, bereavement, and affliction. Help each one. Help them to come to thee. Help them to look to thee. Help them to cleave to thee. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 871. 871. Happy the man that bears the stroke of his chastising God, nor stubbornly rejects his yoke, nor faints beneath his rod. Hymn 871.
Thank you.
greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the chapter that we read, the 38th chapter in the prophecy of Isaiah, and we'll read verse 16 for our text. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 16. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Firstly, we must just look at Hezekiah the king and of those things that he did. He was a very godly, gracious man who wrought great deliverance in Israel at a time of great darkness, and the Lord raised him up to grant a real true reformation. As soon as he became king at 25, he immediately set about restoring the temple and restoring the true worship of God. And it is said that he kept a Passover in Israel, such as has not been kept since the days of Solomon. And the Lord wonderfully prospered his way and enabled him to restore the true worship of the Lord Jehovah and to cast out the idols that had been brought into the temple. So he was a godly king. He was a gracious king. And if you look into his life, it seems to mirror those words of our Lord Jesus Christ: seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and my righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So wonderful deliverance was wrought in his day. And the Lord's people were greatly comforted and encouraged and blessed. And so, but what a great trial this must have been. In the previous chapter, it tells us how that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, had come up against Jerusalem with a huge army of 185,000 men, and he besieged the city of Jerusalem. And why it looked utterly impossible that little Israel could ever deliver themselves from the hands of the king Sennacherib. And we read in chapter 37 in verse 14, and we see how godly Hezekiah dealt with this matter. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Now there's some gracious wisdom there. How often when we come into troubles and trials and we immediately start ourselves trying to extract ourselves from those troubles and trials. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God. He personally proved this. Thou art the God. Even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he hath sent to reproach the living God. And then his confession here: of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and now they have come to Jerusalem, and now they besiege the city of Jerusalem, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. He expresses his confidence in the Lord, his God. It's like David when he was in a time of great difficulty, and that David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. In that the Lord is Jehovah, the unchangeable one, the almighty one, the one that is able to do abundantly more than we could even ask or think. In the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Power belongeth unto God. He's the eternal God. He's built his church upon that eternal rock of ages, his only begotten Son. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, Hezekiah was to prove this experimentally. Now, with all this going on, with Jerusalem besieged with armies, and the children of Israel and their king in a totally impossible position. Naturally speaking, you couldn't see however they could be delivered from it. It looked utterly impossible. And then on top of that, in the beginning of our chapter, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. He had what appeared to be an incurable disease. Indeed, the Lord sent Isaiah the prophet unto him in his affliction, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." So we see the Lord's hand in this. Where the Lord had brought him. We've sung in both our hymns tonight. It reminds us of those words that the apostle quotes in the epistle to the Hebrews. He quotes, of course, from the third chapter of the Proverbs. "Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." But mark what he says, "whom the Lord loveth." In the Hebrews, speaking of divine chastisement of the child of God, this was a mark of divine love. And he says this solemn word, "And if ye be without chastisement, then are ye bastards and not sons." That's a very solemn word, isn't it? If you can live as you like and do as you like, sin as you like, whether it be openly or secretly, and the Lord never deals with you, the Lord never chastens you, that's a solemn mark against you. Because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he says this, "whereof all are partakers." All of the Lord's people are partakers of divine chastisement. It's a very solemn thing. Sometimes, I remember many years ago now, a long period when the Lord didn't speak to me, I mean personally. That was a great trial. That was a great trial. I thought much of that word of David. "Be not silent unto me, O God, lest if thou be silent unto me, I become like them that go down into the pit." That's a great trial, isn't it? When the Lord is silent. And eventually the Lord broke that silence. And it was with the most solemn word of rebuke to me. I fell under it. But what was so sweet to me, even though it was a solemn word of rebuke, the Lord had spoken. That was what was so sweet to me. He hadn't left me. He spoke to me. Now, Hezekiah, here in this great trial, and immediately after Isaiah had spoken to Hezekiah, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. We read that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. What does that mean? He was brought to that position where he turned away from all human help. That's what it means. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. There was nobody that could help him but the Lord. And the Lord brings us into those positions sometimes. That only he can help. Only he can deliver. That they were in such a position that huge army of 185,000 men surrounded Jerusalem. It was impossible that little Israel could deliver themselves, naturally speaking. And then the sentence of death. You might have thought it was sufficient alone for him to be completely hemmed in by the Assyrian army. The Assyrians at that time were the great power of their day. Just like we see today, America is the great dominant military power, where the Assyrians were in his day. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. He turned away from everything and prayed unto the Lord. What a mercy he had, a God to go to. A God that hears and a God that answers prayer. And he'd proved that. He had. And Hezekiah wept sore. Hezekiah wept sore. The wonderful thing is that the Lord immediately answered him regarding that sentence of death. Before Hezekiah had gone out of the king's palace, the Lord spoke to Isaiah had gone out of the king's palace, the Lord spoke to him to return to the king Hezekiah. And the Lord said to Isaiah, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. There's that lovely word, while they are yet speaking, I will answer. It's a very precious thing. You find that with Daniel in that lovely prayer of Daniel's in Daniel chapter 9. And as he was praying and begging and pleading with the Lord, and he says, and whilst I was speaking, the angel Gabriel was sent with a message of peace unto Daniel. Whilst I was speaking in prayer, and the angel said unto Daniel, as soon as he had begun his prayer, he was commanded to go and to speak unto Daniel. And it was so here with Hezekiah. He was in dire straits. He was dying, literally. You see, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city. Wonderful truth, you see. I don't know where you friends are in your own personal experience And whether any of you have come to the house of God tonight and you're in things that to you seem utterly impossible. What Hezekiah proved and what the Lord's people do prove, that with God nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. He is God over all, blessed forevermore. He's the Lord Jehovah, in whom is everlasting strength. He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. That's a paraphrase of the name Jehovah. What effectively that word is saying, he's Jehovah Jesus. He's the eternal God. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. When the Lord Jesus speaks to his servant John, he was in a position of great persecution, wasn't he? He was exiled onto the Isle of Patmos for the name of Christ. And the Lord came unto him there on the Isle of Patmos and spake to him. And delivered him. Gave him the book of the Revelation, but eventually he was delivered and he went back among the churches to serve the Lord. Sometimes we come into positions where we think that we shall never be delivered. But when I was very sick in 2005, I couldn't preach from February through to November. And I was in and out of hospital 8 times. And I remember it so clearly. One morning, I had about 10 seizures. And I felt so ill. But I felt so dark. And I really felt that I would never, ever preach again. And my brother Joe came in to see me. Just briefly, while he was on his way to preach somewhere. And as he was going, he said, I've had this word on my spirit. Nevertheless, afterwards. Do you know, friends, that was like a divine cordial. Afterwards. Just that little word, afterwards. I didn't think there was going to be an afterwards. It looked impossible. But there was. But how it lifted my spirit. How Christ was made so precious. There was going to be an afterwards. Now, if you look at the context of that word, it's all to do with chastisement. Whereof all are partakers. But he says, nevertheless, afterward. Now, you may be in a difficult position tonight. And a position that you don't feel that you're going to ever get out of. You feel to be shut in and as it were in bondage. But may that be a word in season. Nevertheless, afterward, there will be an afterward. There will be a time when the Lord will come and deliver you. He will remember you. He will remember you. The Lord remembers his people. You look at Noah when he was in the ark. And then we read, and the Lord remembered Noah. He doesn't forget you. He never forgets his people. He loves them with an everlasting love. He loves them with an unchanging love. And that is the very reason why he chastises you. It seemed to me to take me a long, long time to learn this. You might say, what do you mean? Well, when the Lord's chastising hand used to come of me in my younger days, I used to fight with might and main to get out of that trial, that trouble, as hard as I could. But you see, the Lord brings those things on purpose. And the purpose is to humble us. We have proud hearts. We have a proud nature. We will soon get lifted up. Sometimes the Lord, he brings something that nobody else can see. It may be a temptation. You alone know it. And that temptation is with you continually. Now you just look at it in this light. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. It's because he loves you. Now it took me a long, long time to learn that it was the Lord's afflicting hand. It was in love. It was in mercy. He knew what Jabez Rupp needs. He knew what a strong nature I'd got and what a strong character I'd got. The Lord knows that. So he deals with us accordingly. He knows how to humble us. He knows what will humble us. He knows what's best for us. You know, Hezekiah proved this. O Lord, by these things. That's what seemed to rest with me very much in meditation yesterday on this word. These things. So where are you tonight? And these things that trouble you, these things that perplex you, these things that burden you, these things that humble you, these things that bring you to the throne of grace. Now that's the purpose. If you didn't have these things, the Lord wouldn't hear much from you. There would be very little in prayer, very little spiritual exercise. The apostle says in the 8th chapter of the Romans, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. All things. We would tend to think that all things that are good and comfortable and peaceful and wonderful and precious, they're the good things. They're working for our good. No, my beloved friends, all things. Those things that are really trying. Those things that are really perplexing. Those temptations that afflict your soul. These things. They're sent by a gracious heavenly Father. They are. He sends it to humble you. To humble you. Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God hath led thee, to humble thee, to prove thee, to see what was in thine heart. It's humbling. There's another way that the Lord chastises his people. And that is in discovering to us our sinfulness. Do you know, friends, I've never seen it so clear. Just a few weeks back, I preached from that word. The first time I've ever preached from it. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. What I saw so clear. You know, the spirit's quickening work. Our flesh. Though the apostle puts it in this way. The new man. That's the new man of grace. And the old man. That's the old man of sin. Our flesh does not profit. It remains our flesh. It remains sinful. It remains corrupt. It remains unrighteous. It remains unclean. That's our flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. The apostle puts it in this way in the 7th chapter of the Romans. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now that is a very painful, crucifying thing when the Lord shows us our flesh. It is. And it's by these things that men live. O Lord, by these things men live. How is it you say this is a paradox? Well, it is a paradox. You think of what the apostle says in the Galatians. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and the one is the contrary to the other. That's a very painful thing. I remember not long before I was brought into gospel liberty, and I knew much conflict and conviction of sin. I used to think in my very early days, I had 2 years under the law, and I used to think I knew a lot about conviction of sin. Friends, I knew hardly anything. I thought I knew. I didn't know hardly anything. But that word in Ezekiel walked up and down in my soul for months. Turn again, O son of man, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And every time I turned again within, there was another sin, another sin, another sin, until the Lord brought me so clearly to see. As I looked around at all the sin and the immorality and the unrighteousness, the wickedness and the evil that is in this world, you know, the Lord showed me that the seed of every single sin that I could see in the world was here in my heart. It's a very crucifying thing when the Lord shows us our sinfulness, our wretchedness. You see, Hezekiah, he says here in verse 9, the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered. I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. And you know, friends, when the Lord shows us our sinfulness, our corruption that is in our nature. You say, when you feel your heart so vile and so wretched, and the thoughts of your heart so vile and so wretched, can ever God dwell here? Can I really be a child of God? Surely a person who is a child of God wants holiness and righteousness, but all I find is sin and wickedness and evil. That is so true. And that is all there is in our hearts. For I know, do you know? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Friends, we need this divine teaching. And you might say, well, what is the purpose? To humble you, so that you are brought to see and to realise what you really are. If everything was all wonderful and light, we'd soon get puffed up with pride. But when the Lord shows us ourselves and humble us under his mighty hand, I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I'm deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed, and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night will they make an end of me. This is where he was brought. He was brought to the end of himself. And you know, friends, that's a good thing. That's working together for your good. When you're brought to the end of yourself, when you're brought to see the wickedness and the corruption of your heart, the filthiness of your nature, it is most crucifying when we are brought to see these things. Like as a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Notice, this is what is called an ejaculatory prayer. It's short and to the point. And when you read through Holy Scripture, when the Lord's people come into great need and great trial, you don't find a prayer as long as your arm. You find a very short, pointed prayer. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. You see, O Lord, by these things men live. My mind was much drawn. The dear apostle Paul, who of course knew these things, And in the second epistle to the Corinthians, he deals with these things, of the path that he had had to walk. And he says in the first chapter of the second epistle of Corinthians, verse 8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came unto us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength." This is where Hezekiah was. Is it where you are? "Pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves." The reason? That we should not trust in ourselves. Because that is where we would trust. Left to ourselves. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. And this is where Hezekiah trusted. This is where Hezekiah trusted. The apostle, he goes on, "who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Who delivered us from so great a death. Could be in the language of Hezekiah, couldn't it? The apostle Paul knew this by experience. How often he speaks, especially in the second epistle to the Corinthians, of these trying things that he had to pass through. And that the Lord caused him to walk in. And he says how that he was persecuted and beaten with many stripes. And he says, always we are troubled on every side. This is the Apostle Paul. "Yet not distressed. We are perplexed but not in despair. Persecuted but not forsaken. Cast down but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." When the Lord comes and delivers, just like he did to Hezekiah. He came and delivered him. "So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up Jesus, the Lord Jesus, shall raise up us also by Jesus, and present us with you." You see, his hope was in God. His hope was in the finished work of Jesus Christ, in what he had done. Where's your hope? You know, we have to be brought to the end of everything, all the hopes of the flesh. Carnal hopes, carnal desires. In the second chapter of Corinthians again, the apostle speaks of being taken up into the third heaven. "I knew a man, whether in the body or out, whether cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into the paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful," that means not able, "for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmity. So though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool." He said, "and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." That was with him all the time. It's wisely hidden from us exactly what that thorn in the flesh was. But it was a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted. He had it with him all the time. "This thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee." Paul, you need this thorn, this humbling this temptation that is with you all the time. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. My grace is sufficient for thee. It is. And you will prove it day by day. We have to walk these things out. We have to prove them. O Lord, by these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. And it was in these things, and personally I proved this myself on more than one occasion, in these dark, trying dispensations, that Christ is revealed. And the apostle who says the grave cannot praise, rather Hezekiah says the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth, the living he shall praise thee, as I do this day, the father to the children. You see, he says in verse 17, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. It's a lovely word, isn't it? Thy sins and thine iniquities will I remember no more. You see, what we have to prove is all our life and all our hope and all our desire is in Christ. It's in Christ. It's in his precious blood. It's in his glorious righteousness. And in these great trials that we come into, it's to stop us from trusting in ourselves. Trusting in what we can do, but trusting alone in what Jesus has done. Trusting alone in his precious blood and righteousness. His blood, it cleanses from all sin. And so this dear man of God, he says, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You think of when the destroying angel went through the land of Egypt on the night of the Passover. And the Lord had commanded the children of Israel to slay a lamb and to take its blood in a basin and paint it on the side post and the lintel of the door. And then they were to go inside and shut the door. And what did the Lord say when that destroying angel of death was to come through Egypt? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. One hymn writer says, concerning the blood, 'twill Jordan's icy waves divide and land my soul above. And you know, friends, may we live and die resting on Christ, the eternal rock of ages, resting on his precious blood, resting in his glorious righteousness, confessing that we have no righteousness, that we are unworthy, that we're unrighteous altogether, but confessing my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's a sacred thing when Christ is made precious unto our souls. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. So the Lord did recover him. On the following morning, when they looked out, there was 185,000 dead soldiers. The Lord appeared in a moment, in a most solemn way. And they were gone. That was it. They were finished. Tremendous thought, isn't it? You see, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And maybe you're struggling with something that seems to you utterly impossible. You cannot see how ever you can be delivered from this great trial that you've come into. But don't forget that. God is God over all. Blessed forevermore. There's nothing too hard for him. And with God, nothing shall be impossible. Oh, that the Lord may guide and direct unto the feet of Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. May the Lord add his blessing.
God willing, Mr. Michael Ridout will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Chapman on Friday evening next week. Our closing hymn is number 623, 623. Whom the Lord Jehovah loves, he in various ways reproves. 'Tis his settled wise decree that his sons chastised shall be. Hymn 623.
now. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.